KDUS AM 1060 Tempe Phoenix and KSLX HD2 Scottsdale Phoenix is brought to you by AC by Jay Heating, Cooling, Plumbing, and Drains.
This program is paid for by Good Vibes Media.
Coming to you from a wrong turn off Route 66. Somewhere in the Sonoran Desert, it's James Out West, featuring Ryan Rooks.
Good evening, Phoenix and friends. How are we doing, ladies and gentlemen? James Out West, as always with me, Ryan Rooks.
Good evening, sir.
Pat the Stats in the house. We've got Aaron behind the glass. He's probably super excited. We'll get into it later on why. But it is a beautiful day, and real quick, it is Monday, May 2nd, 2022. It is already May.
I know. That's crazy.
This is wild. We got about three more weeks before kids are out of school.
Yep.
We're about three weeks away from the desert being ablaze in the summer sun and us melting out here.
For about 2-3 months, we're going to have some craziness. Hopefully,
absolutely,
we'll have some good monsoons this summer.
How was your weekend?
It was great.
Yeah? What'd you do?
Nothing. Sat in the pool.
Me too.
Relaxed.
Me too.
It was one of the first where not a lot of kids stuff, so great. Watched a lot of basketball.
Yeah, I watched a lot of NFL draft.
Yeah, well, of course the draft. Yes, that was Thursday. I watched a lot of Thursday and Friday. I didn't watch so much Saturday and Sunday. That was more basketball for me. But yeah, it was nice. It's relaxing. We're right at that midpoint right now where it's in the 90s, so it's still nice outside, but not crazy.
Yeah.
But yeah, how about you?
Not bad. Hung out at the house and the pool both days. I mean, I went to bed last night, no joke, 6:45 p.m.
Because you're getting old.
I mean, because we were all tired, bro. Long day. Sit in the sun. The sun out here.
It does get you.
It does drain you. Not know. And because it was a nice day, I was in the pool for like, I don't know, 7 hours.
Yeah.
So, you know, got a little crispy.
You know,
Didn't get too red.
You put in the struggle.
I did.
Just like all these people in the NFL draft that we're going to compare.
Well, boy, they were sweating bullets. I was sweating bullets, bro.
Yes. Okay. So, to you, biggest surprise of the draft. Let's stick with just round one on Thursday.
Biggest surprise of the draft, I guess it's going to be kind of out of left field, but the Cincinnati Bearcats having 9 players drafted.
That's a lot.
That's incredible.
Georgia had 5 defensive players in the first round.
That's never happened.
15 overall.
15 overall.
Which is a record as well, I believe.
Absolutely.
We all kind of heard rumblings that Walker was going to go number one instead of Hutchinson.
Yeah.
That's how it worked
out.
That
came to fruition.
So we kind of figured that was going to happen. We had quite a few receivers go. What was there, 6? In that top round, Jarek London was the very first one, which Drake won money off of.
Yep, so Drake London went, and then there was the run of the Ohio State guys.
Garrett Wilson, and then Olave.
And then James, you know, he played at Ohio
James
State
Williams.
and transferred to Alabama just to be able to play.
Yes.
So, like, you know, basically, so there's 3 right there.
And then they had Dotson, who the Commanders picked up from Penn State. And then
now,
the
why do you think they did that? Because they're going to have to pay scary Terry McLaurin. And they're not going to pay him. He's going to command $20 to $25 million a year, like all these other cats.
Yep.
All these other receivers are kind of putting it down like, hey, this I want to get paid, and if you're not going to do it, trade me now.
So,
and it's happening, which we can get into.
Well, let's kind of go into some trades that were kind of crazy. We didn't see anything really.
Bro, there were so many trades. I lost track of who was going where, what was happening. It was mind-blowing how much action there was in a draft that was filled with a bunch of players that aren't. That's not a lot of action.
It didn't really happen until, what, 10 or 11? Where was that trade? Or 13, right, with the Eagles? So when that started happening, so we had the Browns get traded, right? So we had Hollywood come, that's now going to be playing in Arizona, which they're definitely going to need him. And then we had
A.J. Brown
A.J. Brown
traded
get traded and get paid over 100 mil, right?
So the Cardinals move in number 23. They had this trade or a trade like this basically locked in about a month ago. And according to Peter Schrager of Fox NFL and NFL Network, he stated that basically that DaCosta, the GM of the Baltimore Ravens, the Ratbirds, basically said if this leaks, the deal's off. It was kind of there. I think they were going to see if anything, but they knew none of the receivers were going to drop.
Yeah.
The 3 or 4 guys that they were very comfortable with taking, that they knew they needed to get somebody, was going to be gone by 23. So they essentially knew that they needed to do this. Worked out a good deal. The Baltimore Ravens are always willing to wheel and deal. They'll move players, picks, things like that, especially for a guy who the last 2 years has told them he wants to be traded because he's not happy in the offense.
Right, but how do you not communicate that to your quarterback?
Listen, I think Lamar closed himself off. For him to be surprised by this when he has said, I've told him and others, I've been very open about it over the last 2 years, that I don't like the offense we're in.
Well, right.
And who could blame him? This is just, but this is kind of a slap against his quarterback in the sense of like, I don't like playing with this guy because no receiver wants to play with that guy because he's not going to get you the ball enough. And receivers are mostly divas. They're more worried about getting the ball than winning. Not all of them. That's not like a blanket over them, but.
But don't you think if they would have brought another receiver in and opened it up a little bit on the outside that would.
It doesn't fit Lamar's strengths.
No, it doesn't fit.
You're
going to
go with what's
going
to win you games.
You can still open that up.
No, yeah, they have somebody that opens it up for them. Just a big old tight end named Mark Andrews.
Okay, so but I'm saying splitting the field. So you have one on each side.
No. I don't think it would have mattered.
So are they still going to try and pay Lamar? Are they going?
Does Lamar want to stay there? I don't think Lamar wants to stay there.
I don't think he does. I wouldn't want to now.
I think Lamar sees there's uncertainty in a couple of cities at quarterback, Miami being one of them. Doesn't mean Tua's not necessarily the man.
No, he's not. And you know what I'm saying? Something this year.
Hey, Philadelphia. Jalen Hurts isn't necessarily the man. And they may have the most talent in the NFC least.
It's crazy.
You know what I'm saying? So, like, I don't think that Baltimore may be his end destination.
I don't think so.
He's a smart businessman. Not now. Hey, listen, he can get a max. I mean, for lack of a better term, a max contract. I mean, they don't have him in the NFL, but essentially a max contract. Yeah. He can kind of dictate where that is. If that's because, listen, he's got his fifth year and then a franchise and a franchise.
Yeah, he's going to have an option.
So, listen, so that's 3 years. That's this year coming and two more if he decides not to sign. By then, who's not in the league anymore? Maybe Matt Stafford's not in the league anymore. Maybe Kirk Cousins isn't over in Minnesota. We'll know what happens with Tua. We know what's going on in Atlanta if what they decided to do worked out for him. Like, there's going to be so many opportunities for this guy to go and command a 10-year, $500 million deal 3 years from now.
I think it'll be sooner he stays somewhere there. Else, but yeah, I don't even think he's going to stay there for three more years.
Well, he has to. No, he does. Because listen, if he does his fifth year, he doesn't sign. They can franchise tag him. The first year he's got to play, unless he decides to not play. Then the second year it's a franchise.
That's my point.
So I'm saying that's 3 years.
I get it contractually.
That's three.
So Debo is supposed to be a Niner too, right?
But that's three.
And so correct on paper, but we've seen how players
don't put Debo, the running back / receiver, in the same category as a top five played player.
All of the players we've talked about. We've gone through
quarterback is the anomaly. They actually should have their own union. They should have their own set of a salary cap. I'm not joking.
They should have
their own part of the salary cap, considering how much they command of the salary cap that makes everybody around them
30,
less.
40% looking at it now.
Absolutely. So you got. I think to me there should have been something to that nature. I don't know what they could have done with it or what they can do with it. But to me there should be something with that because. They are the face. It is the hardest position. You have to pay them the most money. Even your run-of-the-mill, I'm a solid starter, is going to make over $20 million a year coming up.
Yeah. So.
What?
Okay, so let's circle this all the way back to the draft. Speaking with, there's only one quarterback taken in the first round.
And now,
Pittsburgh.
I know.
So. Or excuse me.
What?
It came from Pittsburgh.
I was like,
excuse
wait a minute.
Me. Sorry.
Aaron, we need to jump in on this.
Willis, my apologies.
I need your thoughts. What was going through your head right before they took him, and did you think they were going to take Kenny Pickett?
No, I thought it was going to be Malik Willis, actually. I really thought they were going to go with him just the way that Mike Tomlin seemed to really like Willis. I thought that was going to be where they were going to go. And I actually didn't expect Pickett to fall to us. I thought maybe the Saints were going to get him or the Panthers. But I was actually really pleased. I think still I would have preferred Willis, but I'm really excited for Pickett.
I hear you. So I really thought it was going to be Malik Willis as well. I know that it was kind of a odd quote that Mike Tomlin gave. It was like, hey, we traveled the country and ended up taking the guy that was in our backyard. What's interesting about it is that they share the same facility. Like, not even like, oh, it's in the same same corridor. No, like the fields are next to each other. They're on the field at the same time sometimes on their sides. They pass each other in the halls. He's been there for 5 years too. So for him to be there for 5 years, they saw this kid go from straight out of high school to leading a team, breaking all sorts of records at Pitt. They got to see him deal with adversity. How did he handle the cleanup crews, the janitors? How did he handle the people, that are at the door, the security, the lunch people for the lunch lady? How did they handle that interaction? And I think they just wanted to pit everybody else against that and see, was there anything that jumped out? And at the end of the day, I think that they went with the guy that they knew best versus maybe the ceiling thing. because I don't think that they care about the ceiling. It's what does your floor do for you?
Yeah, yeah. I thought that was weird that like no one talks about his ceiling. Like as a first round quarterback, like it's no one talks about his upside. It's all the floor. And I've never really heard a coach talk like that. The first quarterback taken in the draft, and that's how you talk about
it. It's an odd year to have, like you said, that was the only quarterback taken in the first round. Yeah. All these other quarterbacks fell for a while. You kept thinking third people rounds. Are going to take him, people are going to take him. Oh, it's going to be this. Oh, it's going to be this. And it, for some reason
and then
or another.
The league has all that upside, so it's just, I don't know.
And he ended up in the best position, to be honest. He ended up with Tennessee.
Yeah, he did. And it's funny is that with this entire draft, it was probably not as exciting because we didn't see a lot of the big, huge names that people want to see as far as QBs going early. You know, these big defensive ends that, you know, Hutchinson, I would say, is kind of a huge star that obviously I think is probably going to be one of the bigger names coming out of this draft. But it was a great draft, and so many teams did so well.
Yeah, a lot of teams filled a lot of holes. There was a lot of very good players that I think are going to make huge impacts on teams right away, especially for some of these teams, these guys have to start.
Yeah.
Look at what the Jets did.
Yes.
All of those guys have to start and or contribute this year for them to have any chance of being successful.
Yeah, the Jets and the Giants fans were happy on Friday. Like well, you had I mean, to have been. Like,
yeah,
that
you
doesn't
had to
happen
have been.
In a draft for them, especially for a long time.
But every, you know, Brandon Bean was doing an interview earlier today, and he basically, the GM of the Buffalo Bills, if you don't know, ladies and gentlemen, Brandon Bean, but what he was saying was, is that everybody should be happy when they're done with their draft. Otherwise, what did you just waste 11 months on? Like every, as far as like coaches and GMs, like they should be happy. Like this is what you went for.
Right.
Like this is what we did. Like because they didn't have so many holes to fill. You know, they're picking in the back end. They, we'll talk about who they drafted. Really just one player that they drafted I want to talk about, which is the punt god. But we'll get into that. It was interesting to see how this goes down because they didn't really need anything. And for them to kind of fill a hole that, maybe you wouldn't draft for, you would just go out and sign, shows that they wanted a weapon in this case of, in this time of need of, I need a guy to be able to flip the field. And we'll talk about this on the other side about this kid who's got a boomstick rocket of a leg. I mean, we're talking punting the ball 80 yards and stuff.
Yeah.
San Diego State.
Very, very interesting. And the way he approaches it, it's, yes, it's going
to
be interesting.
Got some swag to him. There was a Forbes interview.
Oh.
Ooh, Forbes magazine.
You want to give a little Suns update?
Yeah, let's give it up. We got 16-6 over Dallas right now.
Make it 18-6.
18-6.
And
we
you
got
guys,
six
if you're listening to this, you are probably ahead of us. So let's just shoot it out there. They're up 30-12. I don't know. I mean, they could
luck.
Be.
Let's see.
Hey, if it is, we'll see. Anyways, other side, more football, NBA, maybe some MLB. KDUS 1060 AM Phoenix. Dan Patrick, Riz Eisen, James Out West.
Interact with Bob Kemp's poll question on KDUS1060.com. That's KDUS1060.com. And while you're there, check out Bob Kemp's bottom line at KDUS1060.com.
Welcome back to James Out West, featuring Ryan Rooks on KDUS 1060.
Thank you, CJ. James Out West, Ryan Rooks, Pat Stat Guy. Aaron in the house, breaking down a little bit of the NFL draft recap.
Can I real quick, since you just brought up my wife?
Yeah, sure.
And she's a diehard Seahawks fan, as you know this.
Oh, yeah.
And so, your favorite player is no longer there.
Mr. Unlimited is now Mr. Maha Unlimited.
And what was his biggest complaint for the last few years about with the draft? Not so much with his line. And what was the first pick that Seattle picked? Was an offensive tackle.
Right.
First one since.
The pick that they got from from Denver, right?
Yeah, ninth overall.
Yeah, so with that pick, they replaced him essentially with a tackle.
A tackle that he wanted.
Chris Cross? What's his name? Christopher Cross?
Charles Cross.
Chris Cross, jump.
It's sophisticated.
Yeah.
Let's
Charles Cross.
Yes.
T. Cross.
Okay. It was crazy. So we talked about quarterbacks.
How they fell, where they went. Yep. I mean, I think... Other than Malik Willis and Kenny Pickett, like the rest of them really don't matter right now.
Yeah. And with a lot of this is going to be played out, we really don't know who did all that great until probably for another year, two, three, 4 years from now.
Yeah, absolutely. In some situations. You know, I mean, I think people, you know, knowing that Green Bay had, dude, there was eight teams that had two first-round picks. Eight.
Wow.
Like, that's wild to have, like, a quarter of the league have over half the picks.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, there was a lot. I mean, even just looking at the New York teams.
It's of course, everybody, you know, everybody's hopeful. It's draft season. It was in Vegas. What a First off, it should be. Okay, we should be in Vegas.
Yes.
Every year. It really should be.
And it wasn't on the water.
The first day was. The first day was on the water. They walked across the thing and did it up there. Second, third, and fourth day was in the draft zone thing.
Yeah.
But the first day was up there. First day was on the water. Second day and third day was over in the draft canal. Shout out to our buddy Mel and Bo. They were there.
Oh, yeah?
I got some pictures and some videos. They got to see Ice Cube perform. Yes. Today was a good day, and it did sound good from the video feed. So.
Oh, coming from the guy who does not believe that.
Right, but I think
rap music is good.
Well, rap music is good. It's just usually not good live. It's usually not good live. They have 47 people on stage. They all have microphones. Someone's always in the back. Yeah, like I can't hear him, dog. Sorry, I'd rather listen to it on the record. That's my old man.
We're not going to get into this on a sports show.
But it sounded good. But it was a spectacle. The streets closed down. It looked tremendous. The weather was perfect. Other than the 40-mile-an-hour winds day one, but hey, you know.
Vegas is used to this spectacle.
I'm excited for it. I hope it gets back there because I think next year it's in, like, Detroit and then Kansas City.
Yeah, there's going to be a couple different ones. They're going to keep trying to rotate them.
They had it in Cleveland and Canton, too, and I was like, yeah, okay, who cares?
Right, they did it in Philly. Chicago.
Keep it. I think now that you've done this, keep it in Vegas.
I was thinking about it when I was watching them.
The hotels, the accommodations, cool everybody can be there.
If they did it in Phoenix, and then my immediate next thought was everybody would be dying of heat sweat. Like, it would just be so hot.
And they went from Vegas. You said the next one's what, Detroit?
Yeah, it's like Detroit and Kansas City.
Transition ever, yeah.
Well, you would have thought Cleveland was like horrible, Miami, but Cleveland actually showed up and cleaned up their city for a little bit. Thank you.
For a little bit.
It's fine.
That's such disrespect.
But it's interesting. But
coming from somebody from the Bay Area, that is such disrespect.
Okay, whatever.
It's for another podcast.
My phone.
Yeah, your chair. See, that's what happens when you start talking all that mess. The chair karma gods came in and swiped you up from underneath.
It's fine.
Now you got to stand.
I'll just stand from now on. It's okay.
You look like a bagger at a grocery store.
Okay.
Anyways, continuing.
It's better than a bag of mayonnaise, like you call people.
Hey, and that is true. Right now, dude, I feel like a bag of mayonnaise.
Okay,
right? The receivers, getting back to this.
Yes.
Saw the receivers going, Green Bay having two picks. Everybody figured, you know, they have to go get a receiver in the first round. You got to get a receiver, maybe trade up. You got to move these two picks. What do they do? They take two Georgia defensive linemen, or a D-tackle and a linebacker with those two picks. But they did follow it up in the fourth round with a guy that played at North Dakota State. Christian Watson, this dude is 6'4", ran under a 4.5. He's raw, got a lot of speed, a lot of talent. I think they just gave Aaron Rodgers his next big, look out for what if this kid picks up the offense to be a nice, I don't want to say sleeper maybe, but maybe sleeper pick in fantasy and or in real life because him and Aaron Rodgers, I mean, he's got to throw the ball to somebody.
Yes.
Right? He's got to throw the ball to somebody. And they lost other people. Like, didn't MVS, he left, he went to Kansas City, right?
Yeah.
So this guy kind of fits that mold. I mean, we'll see. Aaron Rodgers did an interview like literally during the first round of the draft and kind of spelled out what they were going to do, and that's exactly what they did. You know, defense, a couple offensive linemen, and a wide receiver and call it a day. I mean, they are a championship contender.
Christian
losing
Watson.
Losing.
Yeah, what round did you say this guy went in?
When did he go, the fourth?
I don't know. I'm looking.
No, he went in the second, number 34th overall pick.
Oh, was he? Oh, even better. All right. Yeah.
So he's known. He's a little bit better than you thought he was.
Well, North Dakota State, 6'4". I mean, it fits what they do. You know, they just lost their big beast of a receiver who is big and physical. Now, this guy's a little bit thinner.
Yeah, again, that's the Vikings traded that pick to him. So
you guys did some funny things.
That was weird, dude.
That, and then when the Vikings made the trade to Detroit, they also then took a receiver as well.
Yeah, we would have had that pick. That was the second pick of the second round.
So you guys traded your picks. I say you guys, the Minnesota Vikings, traded two picks to in-division rivals that took receivers. That's a bad look if those guys end up balling out.
Yeah, thank God we took a safety and some corners.
Which you guys did. A lot of people, again, we go back to a lot of people filled a lot of needs. A lot of teams filled a lot of needs. Going back to Aaron, you guys took a receiver that I thought the Browns were going to try to take in. Was it George Pickens?
Yep.
That dude's a stud.
Yeah, I'm excited for him.
I mean, we'll see if Trubisky
Pick it to Pickens.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll see. You know, I mean, obviously, Kenny being there for 5 years, and, I mean, obviously he didn't grow up there, but, I mean, he grew up there essentially. You know, he went from being a boy to a man from 18 to 24, whatever. This kid is got the whole city behind him. Like, I don't think anybody else really has had in a while. I know people get excited when a guy gets picked and the team rallies behind him, but it's not like your guy that went to the school that's in your town
yeah.
that's that and that affiliated with the pro program and the Steelers to get their guy, to have it happen that way. So, I mean, unfortunately for me as a Browns fan, I'm not very happy about this, because this does seem like it was supposed to be. Like it was one of those fate things that falls upon the Steelers, just like Ben Roethlisberger fell upon the Steelers. You know, when those things happen, it just feels like fate. Najee Harris falling to you guys last year, like I said, I didn't want you to get him, but it just felt like a Steelers pick, and he's there. It's like when that happens, Tomlin's a stud. So the AFC North better watch out, because the Pittsburgh Steelers may be coming. Psych.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, okay, so do you want to get into this Bills draft pick?
Yeah, so I mean, they're ready to win the Super Bowl. I think they're the odds-on favorite in FanDuel, right? Yeah, they're the odds-on favorite. And they're probably ready to make that next step. Like, I mean, they already are there.
He's the favorite to be MVP, I believe.
Yeah, typically that happens, I guess, when you're the favorite, and they have a dynamic offense, and just another year there with all of the tools. Unless you're Aaron Rodgers.
It's 31-18 right now. You were not that far off.
What did I say? It was
30-12, I believe.
And it might have been. We don't know. I wasn't paying attention. Then we quit talking, and then, you know,
yeah,
people rejoice.
Yeah, you're here to talk. It's fine.
Dude, I wake up ready to talk. but obviously being that they're so ready, they didn't have a lot of holes to fill. They got two guys that I'm very interested in.
Okay.
The punt god, San Diego State, this Ariza kid.
Yeah, Matt.
Who can kill the ball. I mean, we're talking 75 and 80 yard punts. Not like, oh, it bounced 30 yards, took a nice bounce. No. From off his foot to where it hit the ground.
Yeah.
There's one that he launched. I watched it. He kicked it from the goal line, from the front end, from the goal line, and it hit the other 20. Yeah, first bounce.
That's 80 yards.
Now, what's wild about this kid, I guess, is the way he drops the ball is not like anybody in the NFL. It's something that is a little different.
Most people have to adjust.
Right. So what will that mean for him, and or does he have to adjust? Could he be like the Philip Rivers of punting, where I'm not adjusting the way I throw? I know it looks wonky, but it gets there.
As long as it gets there, and it's going to be windy up there in Buffalo anyway, so maybe it's going to look even better.
So it was interesting to me, the pick. I like that. And they took Minnesota Vikings running back brother, Dalvin Cook's brother, James Cook, who looks like an absolute dog of a beast of a running back. He'll be in there. I think that they sneakiness. Do not underestimate their sneakiness. That they got this running back to shore up that's been their biggest hole on offense has been the running back position as a group, as a whole.
Yeah.
So, I mean, since Shady McCoy.
Yeah.
So to have the group they have and to have this kid there and the toughness that they preach there and to know the work ethic that Dalvin has, that I'm sure his family, these kids have, I'd be excited as a Buffalo Bill to know that you guys got it right. And really, it is. There is no exception except for making it to the Super Bowl. Anything else is a disaster of a season for Buffalo.
For Buffalo, it has to be winning the Super Bowl.
No, I said get to. I didn't say win. You have to get to
I know, and I'm correcting you. It has to be winning.
I think
Buffalo always is the bridesmaid, is never the bride.
Hey, if you get there and you lose on a last-second field goal, like, I mean, you can't say it's the worst season. You know, it sucks that you're on the other end of it, but
at the same point, you got to win one, right?
Yeah.
You can show up so many times, but you got to punch it through.
I mean, with that roster, you're disappointed without a Super Bowl.
Yeah, 100%, 100%.
If you do not come out with the one, if not two, with Josh.
Right. You got to get one. Right. You got to get one.
Where's
the Super Bowl at this year? Oh, yeah, it's right here. Mm-hmm. It's right here in Arizona.
Be nice.
It'll be very nice, yes. So it'll be very nice.
Indoor, outdoor. It'll still be grass. Indoors,
yeah. Oh, yeah. That'll be awesome. See the Buffalo Bills take on.
It's fun. It's crazy out here.
Take on who?
Arizona Cardinals?
No.
I don't think so.
The little home team.
I hope so. And we'll get into what's going on with them. But
so much.
I hate making this statement because we are on local AM radio here in Phoenix, Arizona, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, and by the way, AM radio still exists. This is interesting to me that they're probably the third best team in the division. And I hate saying that because that means I'm giving you guys props.
Yeah.
But they probably are. The Rams are reloaded. They re-signed Matt Stafford. They went to the Super Bowl. You guys have been to two of the last three NFC Championship games, right?
Yep.
Three in the last five?
One Super Bowl,
something like that?
Yep, two in the last three.
Okay, so two in the last three. You guys are young, still kind of reloaded. Same coaching staff. Like, that hasn't changed.
Yeah,
San Francisco 49ers, they hold up their end of the deal when it comes to playing the Cardinals.
Yeah.
We know that. Now, the only reason that Seattle's in fourth right now is because they got rid of Mr. Unlimited.
Right. They're rebuilding, and that's fine. But I do think out of those three teams that you
doesn't
just
mean
mentioned
that all
the
three
top,
can't make the, can't, doesn't mean all three can't make the playoffs, though.
Correct. And I think one of those is going to represent the NFC West. I would not be surprised.
In the Super
Bowl.
Excuse
me, the NFC. From the NFC West, one of those three teams is going to represent.
Oh, so you believe the Cardinals have a chance of representing the NFC in the Super Bowl?
If they stay healthy and they get their stuff right, they could. This could be the year they make that jump. That
okay.
Leap.
All right. It could be 100%.
It always comes down to injuries at the end of who's clicking, who's
healthy.
Vibing. And you know what? When Hopkins comes back in game 7 or week 7, that might be the lift they need. If they can maintain, why not?
Yeah, we'll see. All right, on the other side, we'll get into more football, surprise, surprise, and get into basketball. KDUS 1060 AM Phoenix. James Al West, Ryan Rooks, Pat the Stat Guy, Aaron, see you on the other side.
Welcome back to James Out West, featuring Ryan Rooks on KDUS 1060.
Thank you, CJ, as always. And since we are in the Valley, let's touch upon the biggest news of the NFL today, and that was DeAndre Hopkins. Six-game suspension for PED use. I know that he released a statement. Do you have that statement? Did you look at what that was
said? I did see the statement. Pretty much it said, you know, he's been in the league, I believe, for 10 years. He's always been clean. He's been a stand-up guy. We all know this. Never tested positive. Pretty much the way the story goes is that he failed a test in November. He actually passed the test for October and December. So they didn't understand why he would fail November. It's the only test he's ever failed. However, he was going to appeal it, then he rescinded it and is no longer going to appeal, is going to take the six games. So there must have been something that they found out, because the Cardinals are still going to investigate and they're still having an investigation behind it, but he must have known something because he's not appealing it.
Right. There was going to then rescinded it, yeah.
Right. There was something to where it's like, oh, maybe I did take NyQuil, whatever it was, that small little bit. So as far as I know, nothing else is going to happen at this point. He's going to be back week 7. But that was shocking news, especially coming off of the hype of getting Brown coming in through the draft. We thought that was going to be really, really exciting, especially for Murray. Now he has to find out that he's lost his best receiver, best hands on the team.
Yeah, no kidding. I mean, granted, they go and grab Hollywood Brown. Just kind of reading this real quick, Pat, pass this over to me about it, that in November – that a test returned with trace elements of a banned substance, yet that the tests in both the month before and after were negative.
Yeah, that's what I was saying.
So strange. Yeah, that's very strange how that ended up being.
Yeah, he's got a statement there, too. Like, he said he's going to get to the bottom of this, too.
Right.
So, like,
there's something. Yeah.
There's something there that he may have a leg to stand on. You know, there's been issues before where samples have been
tampered with or
mislabeled, or, I mean, just the littlest of things.
Misinflated.
How interesting was this, though? When the Cardinals announced they traded away pick 23 and that they traded it for Hollywood Brown, he walked out on stage with the owner, Mr. Bidwell,
here?
At the draft party that had and took a selfie picture with all these fans.
I thought
in the background.
He was FaceTiming.
It was electric.
From
no, bro. He was in Vegas that day, so he flew up and picked him up and brought him back.
That's hilarious.
Fantastic. Hey, what a boss move, too. Hey, we traded for you. We already knew it was going to happen. We're going to come pick you up and fly you down here. It's only a 50-minute flight. We'll get you right on over here, get a picture. I mean, you talk about fans being ecstatic and probably being very surprised. That's a way to do it. That is the way to do it. That was pretty awesome.
I mean, the Suns, as we're watching the Suns, the Cardinals, they've gone all in. They've done some big splashy moves the last 2 years. They really want to
win. They have
to
be all in.
Yeah, I mean, in where we're at right now in the NFC West, it is unreal, the talent. It's the NFC West and the AFC West are crazy, and yet we were talking about the Buffalo Bills. We still have the Chiefs. I mean, there's still a load of talent.
There's so much talent across the board in the NFL, period.
Yes.
I mean, you have some of those that were like, you know, the NFC East, you know, the NFC South. I mean,
how
you
good
got
have
Brady
they
there, but it's hard to say. Look, Philly could be very good. They could be very good. It depends on Jalen Hurts.
Yep.
What have the Cowboys done? What did they do besides lose, you know, in the offseason a couple of big name, you know, defenders?
You didn't hear what the Cowboys did? They got Jerry Jones out of that paternity suit.
Hey, right on.
Did you hear about that? So you know how
we talked about it, but I didn't hear the follow-up.
So she dropped it because she wants to get the paternity test first.
Oh, okay. So she just wanted to make sure.
So that was part of the suit, but she's asked to get that first.
Okay. I mean, that's interesting. I mean,
or so I mean, I hate to speculate, but that's rather.
Is that the Eagles' division now, you think, with what they with the Brown trade?
As it stands today on paper, they should be the favorite to win the division, yes. The
Cowboys won it last year, right?
They have the – did they?
Yeah.
The Cowboys won it last year?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's right. They hosted a playoff game and lost. That's right.
Yeah, they lost to the Niners.
Yeah. I saw – that's right. Yeah.
Yeah, as soon as we saw that, we're like, oh, that's they're going to lose that game.
So, okay, so do we – so we're not – you're saying the Commanders probably not?
No.
And then we're saying the Giants, did they make a big enough state? Is Jones going to make
no.
his
okay. – So there you go right there. No, that's they made nice moves.
Yeah.
They drafted some talent. They built for the future, but that future isn't Daniel Jones. And they're going to be playing with him this year.
Right.
So to me, no, this is they'll be third or fourth in the division.
What if Saquon has a huge year? Stays healthy. Huge year.
I don't.
A little bit of help with the offensive line? No.
Okay, yeah, maybe they win. Maybe if 7 games get you into the, if 7 games get you in the playoffs and wins you the division there, I guess. I mean, maybe. Well, I mean, it could be.
But you think Philly is what, more of a 9-10 win team right now? Would
yeah,
you say?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, okay. 9-11, 9-11.
And so you say that they're over everybody else, at least.
And they're probably maybe by a game with the Cowboys.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it should be those two. I mean, the Commanders don't know what's going on from a standpoint of all the lawsuits with them being sued because they might have been stealing money from the rest of the NFL owners, to the sexual harassment situation that was going on over there, to the rebrand, to now we got an unhappy wide receiver, the best one you have on your team. You still yes. have a question at quarterback. Like, there's so much going on there. I don't see how they're going to be successful for the entire season to be able to make a run at anything.
No, not
you know.
It's.
I was going to say, like, according to this stat, it's not going to be the Cowboys because it says it's been 18 years since we've had a repeat champ
in that division.
In that division,
wow,
that is pretty. I found that to be crazy, but if you're a betting man, you could probably bet against the Cowboys.
So it's probably going to be the Eagles.
It should be the Eagles then. Yeah, I mean, it makes sense. But although in the last 3 years, anything that's made sense hasn't happened. So this is one of those things, especially in football,
yeah.
with the craziness that's gone on. This was also very interesting that there were more specialists drafted, and when I say specialists, kickers and punters, than quarterbacks drafted in this year in the NFL.
That's crazy.
That is crazy.
That's a wild – that is wild to me. But what's that say? That they're now respecting the specialists enough to start drafting them?
Or
because
that
you have that, or the quarterback's class
well,
was that week.
We
I feel like there was a lot of
this.
Talent, a lot of kickers and punters that were like legitimately had NFL legs.
Yeah, and well, there's a lot of talent. Like we were even saying way earlier on in the year that there's going to be a lot of wide receivers this year. But I mean, this is the longest we've only had one quarterback drafted since '97.
Yeah, he got drafted with the 20th pick, and that's the latest quarterback's been taken in the first quarterback's been taken since 1997.
I wonder when we've had. One quarterback in the first round and not another one until the third. How long that's been.
I wonder if that's ever, I mean, that's.
That's got to be a crazy long time.
And probably, yeah, I mean, this was one of the most interesting drafts just from the standpoint of because there was all the movement in trades, people, there wasn't a consensus number one, there wasn't a consensus, you know, top three guys in the league, you know, there wasn't,
so
you can't tell me three
wrong.
Guys that were drafted that you believe right now will be all pros. Like, hands down, coming league, they're going to be an all-pro this year.
Oh, I don't know.
You have somebody? So I said I can't give you three.
I don't know.
I feel like traditionally you can say, hey, there's this,
there'll probably be two, maybe three, but that would be so hard.
Year one?
Yeah.
Year one? I'm not saying after a couple of years, but I'm saying year one, was there anybody that was consensus? I'm sure there'll be players that do. Because there's always players that do.
It's going to be a wide receiver. I'm going with a wide receiver.
Okay.
Okay.
So which one? Because we got to think of who's throwing it to who.
So would you say...
I'm blanking on the kid from the Bengals right now. But obviously you got Justin Jefferson. Like these kids that
yes,
wide receivers
so
have
saying,
shown a lot
but,
of success.
But this year they got
rookies.
Drafted, who is it going to be? Where did Drake London go?
What was he number? He went to Falcons.
That's a nice little piece.
He might be good there.
And Atlanta.
So the Jets took Wilson from Ohio State. Then
right.
the Saints took Olave.
Yeah, Olave with Michael Thomas down there with Jameis. Who fixed his you know.
Detroit took James Williams. And then we have Burks went to Tennessee.
So he's got the best quarterback out of these guys probably.
Yeah.
David Bell went to Cleveland out of Purdue. And then George Pickens out of Georgia
went to Green Bay.
There,
that's right.
There's going to be – I mean, you're going to get a lot of good out of that, but I think who's going to be the best one out of that group? I mean, my hometown get what's say Olave – But that means I have to depend on James. James threw for over 5,000 yards in a season, threw for over 4,000 yards in a season. If they have Michael Thomas, I don't see why they're not slinging the rock. I mean, he could be the guy. That's putting a lot on Zach Wilson to say it's going to be Garrett. It's going to be Garrett Wilson. I think it's putting a lot on
Wilson.
The young kid in Christian Watson to be like the best receiver in the draft, even though he's got Aaron Rodgers. That might be a lot to put on a kid that played at North Dakota State. You know, it's hard to say which one of those guys is going to be it. The kid went to Detroit from Alabama, Jameson Williams.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's got golf. I mean, he's got to go back and look at who's the quarterback. Who are the quarterbacks? Who's throwing the ball? Out of all of that, Aaron Rodgers is the best one out of it, but as far as like probably opportunity, and they're getting by opportunity as well, but maybe Jameis down there because they have a good defense. Yeah. They have a good, we'll see what this offense brings.
I think the quarterback matters, right? Like Justin Jefferson, he at least had Kirk Cousins, who's not horrible. And then you've got Jamar Chase had, Joey.
Yeah, Joey Burrow.
Joey Burr, yeah.
That's very true. And then A.J. Brown getting traded to Philly. That's interesting. And he got that big contract, like you stated earlier. It's interesting to see that now because they're all in. They see that their division's weak.
Yeah.
And they kind of have to be if Howie Roseman wants to keep his job.
Yes.
Because he's gone through three coaching changes, three coaching changes, a couple of VPs, a couple of different quarterbacks now. You know what I'm saying? Like his neck is pseudo on the line with what's going on there. I think Riviera, Ron, in Washington probably has a long leash because who else is gonna get to go?
Right,
there
he's gonna get them through that bridge. That's
who
for
else
sure.
is gonna get there to? Yeah. Who are they gonna get there to coach?
There's gonna be a good
coach that's respected. Nobody.
The tides are changing a lot. And they're going to be even more probably in the next year or two as far as what teams are going to be looking really, really good.
Maybe the Saints might be all in, too. They went and signed Honey Badger 3-year, $33 million.
Yeah.
They have a really good defense. They loaded up on offense. They got Alvin Kamara.
What was it, last week and said, I don't think they need me.
Right, but I think it was a money thing.
I'm sure it was a whole play with media. It's like I really loved with this whole draft how wrong everybody was. If you look at the media and people who were studying it, it was – so all over the board, but great picks for individual teams in the moment of what they needed.
Now, I think Peter Schrager, he got 28 or 29 of the 32 first-round picks correct.
That's amazing.
Not so much correct in the same, this team took them, but out of the top 32, 29 of his picks were first-rounders. The strange pick, which was strange for the Patriots, and then another guy that happened to hop in.
The wide receiver?
It's like what he missed. Yeah, it's like the only ones he missed.
Yeah.
Which, that goes to show you what kind of, I wouldn't say what goes to show you on how much film study he does. That goes to show you his connections and when he talks to the coaches and GMs that they're giving him legitimate information for him to be able to build something like that to be that accurate.
Well, because they see him and they know how smart he is and they want
and then he can keep
too.
His mouth shut. He didn't let anything know on some stuff that, was obviously pertinent information. Exactly. It's a good way to keep a gig. It's pretty awesome. It was a great weekend. NFL will be very exciting.
We have NBA to get into.
We do.
Right now it's 51-38. We got 6:40 before halftime.
I'm excited, bro.
What is it going to be? Give me a prediction.
62-42.
Okay.
See you on the other side. KDUS 1060 Phoenix.
Welcome back to James Out West, featuring Ryan Rooks on KDUS 1060.
Thank you, CJ. Thanks, everybody, for sticking around. Last 15 minutes, about ready to be in the books for you on a Monday night. Phoenix, James Out West, Ryan Rooks, Pat the Stat Guy. Speaking of stats real quick, the NFL draft, obviously, as it commenced, 262 players potentially changing their lives, as well as others that don't get drafted that make it onto teams and rosters and things like that. But real quick,
down to Mr. Irrelevant, 262.
But real quick,
okay.
For those that have children that are playing sports, I'm looking at you, sir. I'm looking at you.
Yes.
262.
And he's looking at you, Brody.
Yeah. 262 young men were drafted. 233 of them were multi-sport athletes in high school. That's 89% of them. 180 of those ran track and field, and 113 of those, so 43% of them, or more sports in high school. So baseball, basketball, football, or track, whatever. Only 29 total out of the 262 only played one sport and specialist, and they only played football.
That is crazy.
That's a wild information. But
compared
it's true. Think
what?
About some of the best athletes. Like, look at Klay Thompson, such a great basketball player. I don't like giving you guys respect, but It's true. Multi-sport athlete. His dad made them play everything. In the winter, they skied. They ice skated. In the fall, like, he made them do everything. Even if they weren't good at it, just to, you work different muscles, different things. It helps with injury, lack thereof, because you work out different things. Look at quarterbacks that can throw the sidearm and get around things because they played baseball. Like, all of that is good. Plus, the different dynamic of being around different types of teammates and different, like, baseball, I didn't play, so I can't speak to it, but you guys, like, the dugout's, like, sacred.
Yeah.
You know, it's like a good, it's like a, you know what I mean?
All the different vibes, the different things, and the different workouts, not only that you get to use, but the muscle memory that you're going to build up. Like you said, the strength. I mean, you look at LeBron James, he could legitimately be a tight end in the NFL.
He would have been an all pro.
Yeah.
Legit.
I mean, these players, you go all the way back to even Jim Brown. I mean, going back to these guys who could have been all studs, like Olympians in so many different
sports. Jackie Robinson did like 4 sports in college.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of those guys that are just they're incredible athletes.
I love to hear that nowadays, and that's an amazing thing because there's such a stigma out there that you have to go through all these the tournaments, the clubs, and be play year round. That's not necessarily the best thing for you or your body.
No, and I'm sorry, this is for another time, and we'll probably do this over the summer when we're taking our break, and we'll do a podcast on it. But I have a real problem with a lot of coaches and so-called experts when it comes to youth sports because they don't know jack squat. Not saying I do, but you can tell when you see some of these drills or you see some of these things and you have people that really know what they're talking about going, that is the worst thing you could be doing for these kids.
Oh, yes.
Like it's almost like Jameis Winston workouts.
Creating bad habits.
It's almost like Jameis Winston workouts. Seriously, but at like 8, you know what I mean? Like very, very bad for their what you're trying to make them become.
Well, and that's what, I mean, we've talked about that even going back years with watching – kids watching these guys play, you can't do that until all the fundamentals and all that first, second, third, fourth, fifth level is built, right? Yep. You have to be able to do that in your sleep. Then comes the extra little added spice to it, right?
Yep.
But, I mean, even going back to this, Kobe used to do boxing. That was one of the first people that I used to see. And you look back at Michael Jordan, nobody ever used to lift on game days.
Right.
And he'd be in there going out and lifting.
Look at Lyman that took ballet.
Yeah.
Like back in the day, like in the 90s, it was a big thing for these guys to take ballet. So you see these 300-pounders doing ballet because they wanted to be quick on their feet, or hand-to-hand combat, or doing like judo and stuff like that. Like just learning how to attack, because, I mean, those are dogfights, you know, offensive, defensive linemen in the trenches. You know, being able to make your hand-eye coordination, playing basketball, doing things of that nature. What is the score
now? We should probably get into some basketball soon.
Well, yeah, I mean, we have all the time in the world, Patrick.
We're talking about ballet.
Fine.
We're enjoying the arts and the finer things in
all
life.
All right,
and
fine. Let's get to basketball.
Okay, so it's 53-47. Suns are still up.
Wow.
Are they going to hold on to this?
Dallas coming back.
They need to make sure.
Yeah, Dallas making a run. It's okay.
The Suns were able to close it out. We were surprised by Booker coming back and starting the last game to close out that series. CP3 went perfect, 14-for-14, which was
never
amazing.
Never happened before.
Right?
That was wild.
That was a huge... huge moment for them to obviously advance. I still think it's going to be the Suns and the Golden State Warriors going into the West.
Yeah, and your Warriors kind of sneaking away.
Got in the win.
Victory. Yeah.
Klay Thompson missed his last 2 free throws, so they didn't cover the spread on there, that 2.5, but they got the money line, so they did cover and win. What was surprising to me was the earlier game yesterday that Boston got beat up. They got punched in the mouth.
They got, and what was wild is like there was a back and forth for a while.
Yeah.
Like Boston was up by like 10 or 12
it
at one point.
It was until.
And then it started getting out of hand.
Giannis just got a triple-double and then just kept going off.
And yet what we were told, and yet somehow he had a bad game. That's what ESPN told us yesterday, was that he had a bad game. Granted.
Bad offensive.
He missed a lot of shots.
Yeah.
But when you're trying to
be. He was 9-for-25, but he ended up with 13 rebounds, 12 assists, and 24 points, 2 blocks.
And I bet you if I had to guess on those assists, how many do you have? 12?
Yeah.
I bet you 8 of them were on three-pointers.
Oh,
it
yeah.
seemed like all game he was kicking it out. And you had guys like Bobby Portis stepping up and having huge minutes. And he always plays big minutes. But
Holiday had
buckets,
a big game.
Holiday hitting buckets. Grayson Allen still being around. Like, and as much as I couldn't stand him in college, and I don't think nobody did.
He went 3-for-6 from the line.
He's become quite the respectable NBA player.
Don't,
like, I can say that because guess what? Yesterday when he pump faked and went to go pass it and he got like basically got destroyed. The dude fell on top of him.
Yeah.
If you don't respect him, you don't try to pick him up. Correct. Especially in the playoffs, and he did, and they, like, hugged. I mean, unless that's a soft NBA these days.
I'll take Grayson Allen on my team, and I didn't like him in college, like you said. I'll take him on my team right now.
He does hustle, and he is a hard worker, and he's a big dude. Out of all things, he will get underneath your skin.
He's a big dude.
We've talked about a lot of different players that get underneath your skin.
But let me ask you, does he do that in the pros? I feel like he doesn't put –
he's not Draymond.
He doesn't play with the – he doesn't do those shenanigans.
He's more the annoying little mosquito.
But does he do that in the NBA?
He does, but he's not as dirty about it. So it's
I don't watch enough Milwaukee basketball to say if he does. And at Duke, it was blatant.
Yeah.
You can see. Sure, I don't know if that's what it is.
There's a lot of it, but I'm sure also getting fined changes things quite a bit.
It looks like Book's hamstring's fine.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Good for him. Hopefully he's getting that cryotherapy. Shout out, Nick.
Go to Crawford's.
Seriously. Like, I mean, I'm sure that helps with it must not have been, we were talking about, must not have been as bad. Like, Pat played in a softball league back in the day, and he blew his hamstring out, and that thing was
inside the park home run.
Bro, black, like, dude, like an eclipse.
I know, but yeah. We went from, I love how we talk about professional athletes, and then you two will start bringing up, okay, well, yes, it wasn't inside the park home run of the softball game in 1928. It was cool. It was great. It was
black.
But
still, like, the level of injury of the hammy, it was. It
must not have been that bad. That's all I'm saying.
It's amazing, though, when you do pull that, if you ever had that really pulled, it hurts, and you can't run.
For somebody who can't touch his toes and never has been able to, I've never blown a hamstring, pulled it, or nothing. Oh. We run a lot. You see this stuff.
Yeah, it hurts. I remember I had this happen to me in high school, and I wasn't able to play. That's rough. So the fact that he did come back is amazing.
Well, and he's getting the best treatment in the world, I'm sure, you know, them being able to do. But I think maybe the designation for it maybe wasn't as bad as they initially thought. Maybe it healed a little bit faster than they thought it would.
We'll see.
Hey, he's young. He's young.
Yeah, we'll see. Embiid, unfortunately, got it to the face. He shouldn't have been in there. He was in slop. They were up by like 29. Doc didn't pull him in for the 76ers. They won the game, but fractured his orbital bone, got a concussion. Now he's out indefinitely. He'll still be back. And Philly put a whooping on Miami two nights ago. Then Miami came back tonight. So they tied it up. It's 1-1.
But they did it without Joel being on the floor, not clogging up the lane. Like, when you say he's going to be back, when is...
They said out indefinitely, so he'll come back with the mask probably. It depends on how deep the series goes. If this series goes 2-2, maybe he'll come back in game 5, game 6.
Okay, doesn't he have a finger issue, though? Doesn't he have a thumb issue, a right thumb issue?
Yeah. Well, that's what was already that they're in slap at because he has a slight fracture in his thumb.
Wow,
right?
Chris Paul.
Unreal.
Sidestep 3, count it. They're up 13. Goodness gracious. Let's talk about your guy real quick, getting kicked out yesterday, because we were talking about this.
Yes.
Draymond, who I will, real quick, preference that, obviously, I can't stand him because I don't like Golden State Warriors. But, for me, I would love this dude. I love his interaction. I love that he has a podcast. I love how outspoken he is. The words that come out of his mouth, I respect. I just don't respect the mouth that it comes out of. If that makes sense.
That's fair enough. And I can understand the frustration that people can have with him. Obviously, I'm a huge fan. I like him. He is a dramatic, a huge key part to the Warriors' success. He can guard almost any big man at his size and shut them down to at least make it where we can win that game with Steph Curry and Klay Thompson.
So was it a flagrant 2? That's the question.
It was not a flagrant 2. If any other player, it was a flagrant 1. He grabbed his jersey. It didn't look like he knew that he had lost his feet, and he did absolutely pull the jersey.
It was a malicious act, but it wasn't meant to be malicious. It happened.
Yes.
It was ugly. And he wasn't meaning it to do that.
One.
But it is because of his reputation, yes.
And it's fine because he got all hyped. He hyped up he got the crowd mad. They ended up winning the game, so I'll take it.
All right, next week, we'll see where the Suns are. I'm going to say they'll be up in the series. Series might be over. We'll see. Next week, James out west, Ryan Rooks. Pass that guy, Aaron in the house. We'll see you then. Have a great night. Drive safe.
One love.